I'm crying and I'm begging and I say, if you don't help me, I'm going to be burned alive in this car. You've got to come rescue me. And they go, we can't. And I'm trying to get back through to 911. And I realize I'm in so much trouble. And I text my husband, I love you. I'm stuck.
It's January 17th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships.
And I just said, God, please don't let me burn alive.
I'm Alex Silverman. Today, we're going to hear one of the most incredible stories of survival and of bravery and of love I have ever heard.
One of the firemen, I'd grabbed him on the shoulders. You got to help. My wife is up there, and he obviously saw the look of desperation in my face. And he said, let's go. Let's do it.
That's Malcolm, my hero.
This is the story of Patty Phillips and James Sarantino. They live in the small community of Big Rock in Malibu. Big Rock had about 250 homes. Only about 40 of them survived the Palisades fire. And they have a story that is as powerful as any I've heard so far. Here's their interview with Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero as it aired live on KNX News.
The night of the fire, we were monitoring the fire from a vantage point that allowed us to keep tabs because we could see the Palisades fire and the smoke three mountain ridges over. And we felt that we were going to be okay as we saw it progressing down to the highway. But as it got dark, the sky just went bright red. So we hustled on back down to the vantage point, which was only less than 5 minutes away. And the fire had moved the distance of 6 miles in less than 25 minutes and was now at the closest ridge next to us at Big Rock. So at that point, we knew that danger was imminent. It was coming, and it was coming fast. And it was alarming because I'd never seen anything like that. So at that point, the two individuals I was with, we rushed back.
Mike Heron,
they were with their mother, who was 90 years old, making sure she was safe. Anyway, we hustled back to the houses as soon as we can. They live directly down the street. Unfortunately, their home did not survive.
Did you both go?
No, Patty was at home at that point. She had the car packed, ready to go.
No. What happened was, I want to make it clear. We had a generator and we had the TV on and we have an app that's called Watch Duty that we felt and were told that they would notify us once the fire hit Malibu. We were never notified. We had no idea that the fire was in Big Rock. And it wasn't until Mike, Rick, Heron, and James went down and saw the fire at the bottom of Big Rock. And they come back up, and I've never seen three men so scared. They're like, oh, my God, the fire's at the bottom of Big Rock. We're going to have to drive through it. So at that point, we all had separate cars. Mike and Rick went back with Meredith, who's 90 years old, to get her cat. I told James I would meet him in the lower, what we call the estate area. We live on a small private road, and I was petrified that the fire was going to get there before I got out. And it's where we think it's the safest place in a fire because of the way it's designed. It's flat, a lot of grass.
So Patty, you and your husband, James, at that point, you're now separated, right?
We're separated. And he is expecting to meet me down in that area. And so when I got down there, the flames were already there. And I turned on the street that's called Big Rock, which is our only way in and out. And when I made the right-hand turn onto Big Rock, all these flames came at my car. It was the most horrific and scariest experience of my life. And I couldn't see. I was blinded. And then I was surrounded in smoke. And I kept thinking that I have to get out of this because I thought about the Paradise fire and how people's tires went flat and melted. And I'm like, I stepped on the gas. And I thought, I'm just going to get past this. And our road curves, and my car went straight up a private dirt driveway. And I didn't know where I was. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm not on our street. And the road is very tiny. And I try to back up, and my car gets stuck. At the time, I didn't know it was stuck on a boulder. And the flames are blowing across. I had three miracles that night. The flames were blowing across my car. And so it was the red embers blowing across, but right underneath my car was the fire, literally underneath my car. Uh-huh. And I'm looking down, and it's a straight cliff, and I'm trying to back up, and I hit a boulder. And I didn't realize at the time I had hit this boulder. I thought my car had just stalled, and I'm calling 911, and there's no Wi-Fi, so it's not easy to get through to him. But I get through, and I'm talking to him, and he's not helping me. I go, "Don't you have GPS? Can't you find me?" And then he transfers me in the middle of this to the sheriff, who says, "I can't help you. You have to call 911. And I'm crying, and I'm begging, and I say, "If you don't help me, I'm going to be burned alive in this car. You've got to come rescue me." And they go, "We can't." And I'm trying to get back through to 911, and I realize I'm in so much trouble. And I text my husband, "I love you. I'm stuck." And I'm just frozen, and my dog. So I try to open the door because I thought about running. But all the hot embers are blowing into the car, and my dog's jumping all over me, and I'm trying to call 911, and I realize I will never make it running, and I'm not going to leave my dog. And at that point, I didn't think anybody was coming for me. And I just said, "God, please don't let me burn alive. Please don't let me burn alive. Let me die from smoke inhalation." And then I'm like, "I'm strong. I'm not giving up." And I kept thinking, "There's something I can do to save myself." So I laid on the horn. I thought, I knew nobody could see me, but I thought maybe someone will hear my horn. And Mike and Rick were way behind, and they heard the horn. And James was down on PCH. You know, screaming, "Where's Patty? Where's Patty?" And they said, "We heard her horn. She's on the dirt driveway." At that point, he is begging the firemen to come rescue me, and they're saying it's too dangerous.
So, James, I have a wife, and had I been separated in that moment, not knowing where she was, I wonder, what were you feeling in that moment, screaming, "Where's Patty? Where's Patty?"
You know, there's another part to the story. I'd actually gotten down to PCH thinking that she was going to be down there, and it was going through, it was just a war zone, flames, rocks. I didn't think I was going to make it down myself. I put my prayers out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, if this is your will and this is my time, this is it." But I got down, I didn't see her. And then I immediately knew that she was stuck up there somewhere. I went back up to the residential area. I made my way back up there. And just want to say, by the time we left our driveway to that point, it was maybe 10 minutes. And within those 10 minutes, the majority of those homes were on fire. That's how fast it was. And seeing, our friend's home was on fire was devastating, but I still couldn't find her. Then I went back down, made my way back down. That's where Patty was saying our friends were down there, and they indicated that they felt she was up there. So I was desperately, it was chaos. All the homes across on PCH on the beach side were aflame. It was sheer chaos.
It's just It really is an incredible story, both of you. And we are, of course, very glad that both of you did find one another again, and you're both okay.
But it was only by the grace of God.
Right.
one of the firemen, I'd grabbed him on the shoulders. You got to help. My wife is up there. And he obviously saw the look of desperation in my face. And he said, let's go. Let's do it.
That's Malcolm. That's Malcolm, our hero.
Yeah, this is Malcolm. So we jumped in his truck, which was not a fire truck. It was more of a utility style, access vehicle. But anyway, we made our way back up there. You could see. And we, only because I knew where that dirt road entrance, if he would, you just couldn't. Anyway, we found out. I said, oh, there it is up there. So we make the turn up there. Then through the smoke, we see Patty's taillights. We hear the horn honking. And we were able to get up there, retrieve her out of the car and get the dog out of there. And I told Malcolm, hey, I'll just back this thing down. He goes, no way, man. We are out of here. Forget the car.
Well, again, we are Patty and James. Thank you again for sharing your story with us and with all of our listeners. And again, we are very glad that for the two of you, it worked out in the end fine. Thank you both.
Malcolm, you're our hero. When the other firemen wouldn't help, you helped. And I'm alive today because of you and your bravery. And thank you for risking your life for me.
One more
quick thing on my side. Is that possible?
Go for it.
I'm talking to the men out there. We tend to compartmentalize. We tend to put it on auto drive. You grab your wife today and you give her a hug because you never know. It may be the last time you ever see that person. So men out there, you step up.
That's some advice worth taking. What a story. That's the LA Local for January 17th, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Stay connected, constantly updated, nonstop fire news, 97.1 FM, 1070 AM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app, search for KNX News. Follow us on our social platforms, too. We're back on Monday with another LA Local. I'm Alex Silverman. Stay safe. Take care.